to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you and get you through this work week, which we are excited to be here hanging out again. It's been a little bit since me and Kyle got together.
Yes, it has. A lot
of life stuff going on and such. We're glad to be back and kicking it.
A little bit of a bumpy road.
Yeah, we're getting her figured out.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you're new here and you don't want to listen to us talk for the next 6 minutes, you can fast forward to like the 6 minute mark, which is where we'll talk about show stuff. But if you want to hang out and listen to us talk, feel free to do so. So check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. You can come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a cool cult. We won't make you do too much weird stuff. Some weird stuff, but not a lot.
A little bit.
Just, you know, just keep it interesting.
A little bit.
Yeah. Do that. Find us. It's cool. If you got a paranormal experience you'd like for us to share on a future Thursday edition of our show, the Listener Encounter Show, you can shoot that over to us. You want to know how to do that? There's a man right here that's going to tell you.
Ooh. That's a perfect intro.
Smooth.
It was very smooth. But it's easy. Check the show notes. The information is there. If not, it's whatever. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Shoot it over there. We put it in the patent filing system. Then we get it on the show. And then you're famous. You love it. And all of your questions are answered. So, like, what more could you ask for?
It really writes itself, actually. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's a solid formula.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support this little venture we're on, the show, if you will, plenty of ways you can do it. You can hop over to Patreon, and for a mere $7 a month, you can get extra shows. You can get early drops of all of our shows, ad-free drops of all of our shows, casket breath jams, and first notice on merch drops and sometimes merch coupons. Pretty cool, huh?
That's the good stuff.
Speaking of merch, hollowskypodcast.com. You can roll over there. We're clearing out the inventory. There's a little bit of stuff left over there. You guys get over there. There's shirts, hats, beanies, stickers. Go over there. The shirts are all on sale. Once we get them cleared out, we're going to get some new designs in. Kyle's working on some. Got some good stuff put together. We'll have some new designs, hopefully by summer.
Yeah. Is it summer? That sounds good.
Yeah, definitely do that. Best thing you can do, share the show word of mouth. Throw us out there everywhere that weird stuff goes on, anywhere anybody listens to podcasts, anybody likes paranormal and conspiracies, throw our name in the hat. If you got other podcasters you listen to you'd like for us to link up and collaborate, send our name to them. We'll try to figure a schedule out and get some stuff going. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts, your podcatcher, if you will, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when you do, if I find it, I'll shout you out on a show. Today, this week, this 5-star rating and review comes to us from the Bougie Hobo.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Solid name. Hobo says, simply the best, 5 stars. My most listened to podcast, the 6-part series on Stardust Ranch, is their magnum opus. Fuck yeah, it is. You're simply the best, better than all the rest, better than anyone I've ever met. We can build this dream together, standing strong forever. Nothing's going to stop us now. From the Bougie Hobo.
I love that you like wrote a song for us. That gets me right in the feels right there.
I was solid.
It was solid.
Bougie Hobo, you're simply the best. Okay?
I second that.
And we appreciate you.
It definitely brings joy to my life that we have people like you in our camp. And also, your song reminded me of the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And that's what we're doing.
Manifesting.
Yeah.
Bougie Hobo, thank you so much for taking the time to send us the good vibes. You know what? I needed that today.
Yeah.
Honestly, needed that. So thank you. Everybody keep that in mind when you get ready to send your 5-star rating and review. The more positive, the better.
Yeah, you gotta do better than that guy, which is kind of hard.
We expect songs every time now.
We do, yeah. It is a new standard that has been set.
Set the bar. And on that, we're going to take a minute to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, Holocult. We're back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, please, please leave it to a professional. I don't know about you guys, but my entire social feed has just been filled with different health trends, like red light therapy can solve every skin problem, and you should be slamming olive oil shots first thing in the morning, or coconut oil this, elderberry that. Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, who are located close by, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment, thankfully. I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, kind of booked mock appointments, and it is super easy. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need. Find doctors in your area, doctors that take your insurance, doctors that can get you in within 48 hours. It's excellent. Excellent. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/Holo1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/Holo1. Hey, Holocult. If you're someone who likes your nicotine discreet, fast, and with enough flavor options to rival a candy aisle, listen up. Do we have some news for you? We're partnering with Free Pouches, and they just might be the most convenient upgrade your daily routine didn't know it needed. Free is a zero-tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine, without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. Free gives you a wide variety of options, from everything like strength range, offering pouches in 3, 6, 9, 12, and 15 milligrams, also in 6 distinct flavors, mint, wintergreen, lush, sweet, original, and new watermelon. Pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around, no guessing. You might like a little suspense in your podcast, but you don't have to have them in your pouches. Just so you don't sleep on the best value pouches in the market, our listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with the promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch, freepouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
All right. Now that we got the business taken care of, Kyle is going to take us on a journey that I have no idea what it's about.
I hope you motherfuckers are ready.
I just read the title and I shouldn't have.
It is awesome. So I think Steve is going to be exceptionally excited. Brother John is going to be exceptionally excited.
God, I hope it's real.
Because you have... You even like you read the title, you don't even know what the fuck's going on right now. So here we go.
You're right. I do not.
It's awesome, dude. I was looking for a little bit more of a specific story than what I got, but I stumbled onto one particular page and I go, get the fuck out of here. So
God, yes.
I brought it up before, and the particular story I brought it up, but it's regarding dogmen fighting Indians who then use Bigfoot to help fight the dogmen, and the Indians essentially double cross both of them, creating this chaos. However, to this day, even asking ChatGPT, I can't find it. So it's whatever. But I did stumble onto, I think it's connectparanormal.net, and they acquired these next several encounters from Steve, Western Illinois University in Macomb.
this happened in Macomb?
That's where these stories got logged.
How far is Macomb from here?
It is not far at all. I used to trim it out. It's probably an hour and 40 minutes-ish.
That ain't bad.
Maybe 2 hours.
Brother John's excited because we're going to go to Macomb.
Oh, it gets better.
You know what? There's a lot of weird shit that goes on around here.
It gets better.
People said they've seen Dogman around Cahokia Mounds. Mm-hmm. There is that one, there's something in the woods episode where they're talking about, the Metro East St. Louis, which I'm assuming is going to be either O'Fallon, Collinsville, Cahokia.
Yep. Yep.
It's gotta be in that region. Also talking about, what was that about? Wendigo, something like that.
Oh yeah. 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 I forgot about that.
Yeah. Prime area.
So, with that being said, we're going to jump into this first story here. And I Googled the area. And the area this story takes place is actually by Peoria, which is pretty close to us.
That's where me and Dylan were today.
Yeah.
Peoria. Mm-hmm. We took a road trip. Did not see a dog man.
It's awesome. So, the first story comes to us from Bill Hawkins in Adair County in 1985. One evening by the Sheridan River would stick in Bill's mind forever. The evening started like any other during harvest season. The sun was on its way down and the air essentially, it's chilly out. That day, Bill spent most of his day combining soybeans, working hard so they could get ahead of the rain that was forecast. At around 6:15 that night, he takes the truck to go check the fences, make sure none of the cattle are out running around. And in the north pasture near Thompson Creek, that year in particular, they had more problem with coyotes than normal. And they'd already lost 2 calves in the spring, so which is another reason as to why he was going to check the fences. But at this point, when he gets there, the sun was just about gone, and it left, he remembers, a purplish-orange glow on the horizon. When Bill approaches the pasture, he can instantly tell something's not right here. The entire herd of cattle was just terrified. 30 head of Angus cattle were pressed up against the fence, and Bill could literally see them all shaking. So right away, he knows something's wrong. He grabs his Winchester 30-30, which he kept in his truck, and he gets out, and he said right away, the air was heavy, just like how it gets before it storms. But it was different this time. It smelt like wet dog mixed with something rotten. The closer he walked toward the creek and the tree line, the stronger the smell got. And that's when he heard it, a deep rumbling growl that you felt more than heard. He swings his flashlight toward this noise, and what he sees absolutely fucking blows his mind. He said the wolf thing was closest. Maybe 47 yards out, this thing was standing upright, easily 8 feet tall, with its shoulders wider than the truck's hood. Whew. The fur was dark, almost black, but it has this silvery sheen to it. Bill said the face of this beast haunted him more than anything. It was like a wolf's head, but bigger and more angular. It had amber eyes that seemed to burn from within. Its hands were like claws with curved daggers on them. But the other creature, Bill says, and I quote, "Lord have mercy, it was even bigger. This thing was 9 feet tall, covered in thick matted brown fur, built like a linebacker times 3. Its arms hung down past its knees. This thing was more like in the face, like a man, than the wolf thing, but it wasn't quite human. it had a massive brow ridge and wide, flat nose. These two beasts were locked in combat like nothing Bill had ever seen. The wolf, as most people I'm sure would imagine, the wolf was faster, and so it was using its speed along with its claws to try to take on the big one. And he said the big one was just pure strength. All it was trying to do was grab this thing and crush it. These two crashed through my fence like it wasn't even there. It was snapping thick cedar posts like twigs. And he's like, the noise was overwhelming, just snarls, roars, and horrible screeching. And as these two slammed each other around, Bill said he could feel it in the ground as they're slamming each other. And he's like, you know, I don't really want to stick around for this anymore. So he's like, I started to kind of like nonchalantly tiptoe my way back to the truck, trying not to make any noise at all. Because he's like, the last thing I need is for these two to focus on me, and then I'm screwed.
Yeah.
So as soon as he gets to the truck, he goes home, calls his son Tommy, and Tommy had been helping him earlier. He told Tommy to keep his kids close to the house for a while. He's like, don't let your kids go outside. You need to keep them there. Keep them safe. The next morning, Bill takes Tommy and his younger boy, Dave, to where the fight had taken place. Fence posts were scattered like, he said, like pickup sticks over a 50-yard area. Deep gouges were left in the earth, some estimated at around a foot deep.
What?
Blood was on broken branches, dark red, and some of the blood had a strange black tint to it. The tracks were there too, almost like giant wolf prints, except elongated, stretched out. The others were huge. He's like, they were nearly four times the size of my boot, but they were shaped like bare feet. And he's like, this experience changed the way I farmed from then on out. And keep in mind, Bill was a third generation farmer, and he had been doing it essentially since he could walk. But he will not work past dusk anymore, or wouldn't work past dusk. He started to use steel fence posts. From then on, he would carry his rifle everywhere, and he even upgraded to a .30-06. He also went out and got German Shepherds bred from police lines. But Bill said, even as good as these dogs were, sometimes at night when something was passing by, Bill said the dogs would just sit in their kennels and whimper.
That's awesome.
It gets better.
Just thinking, could you imagine seeing that?
That'd be fucking epic.
Yeah.
It's like a wrestling match for the ages.
It really is.
It would be epic. It would be nothing short of epic.
What about the area has both Dogman and Bigfoot?
Oh, it gets better, dude. It gets better.
And why were they fighting?
Those answers, they might come here in a minute, in a little bit.
You know what else is kind of weird?
What's that?
Up kind of that way is the Chatham Wolfman print, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads credence to, like, that there might be some sort of giant dog creature up there. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, with the combination of these three stories, you're going to see and hear some, I guess, more here than anything. Shouldn't say see.
Yeah, there's the Chatham Bigfoot print, but it's got claws.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it clearly has, like, claws.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, but, yeah. Like, the story was that these people were getting a pool put in, right? And in the backside of their property, they had an apple orchard. And all the apples were getting picked off the trees up to about 12 or 13 feet in the air. So they're like, that's weird, right? Then they started getting like severed rabbit heads left around their front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And when their pool people were putting the pool in, they went to chill out underneath the shade of the apple trees. And that's when they saw, they found that print.
That's so awesome. It's such a good print.
Yeah, it's got claws.
That's awesome.
Which is weird because it's probably not, Chatham and Peoria probably isn't that far because Chatham's right before Springfield.
Yeah. Yep. But back to Bill here. During the time of this interview, Bill said he had been hearing stories from people over in Knox County losing livestock. Strange sounds in the middle of the night around western Sullivan County. Howard County hunters had been finding torn up trees and weird markings on tree trunks. Bill made a haunting point, and I'm sure it was kind of haunting, you know, for him as well. He said, I wonder if what I saw was the start of something. Like maybe these creatures have been fighting over territory this whole time and we humans just ain't noticed it. He said his daughter is taking environmental science over at Truman State, and she tells him about how apex predators need a massive territory to survive. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's been a war over hunting grounds sometimes late at night. I still hear those sounds coming from that direction of the creek, and I pray they keep their fighting in the wild places away from folks who ain't ready to know what's really out there in the dark.
What a hard ass, first off.
Bro, like, that story in itself is fucking cool because you hear of a legendary clash between arguably two of the most well-known cryptids.
Yeah.
And two of, not only are they two of the most well-known, but they're the two that you could easily visualize having a reason to duke it out with each other.
Yeah. I'm curious as to when like the first dogman encounter hit. Like if it's a relatively new thing, which I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
I'm curious. Oh man, I'm still playing out the battle in my head. If you had to fight one, which one would you fight?
They would both suck.
Yeah. You had to choose one though.
If I had to choose one?
Yeah.
Probably Bigfoot.
Oh, see, I was thinking I would choose the dog, man.
Probably Bigfoot.
I feel, yeah. Like, Bigfoot scares me just because of the sheer power. Like, he gets a hold, he's crushing you.
Yeah.
He's crushing you. There ain't no...
That's part of my reason why I would pick Bigfoot, because I feel like Bigfoot wants it close, and I feel like once it gets a hold of you, it's just instantly you're over. Done,
yeah.
Where Dogman's going to be gross about it.
Yeah.
I was biting, slashing.
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah.
And the sheer speed of him, you know, you're not, there's no chance of getting away.
I went about that wrong. I went about like thinking which one I would fight, like which one I could win, and not thinking I'm going to lose both of them. 100 out of 100 scenarios, I'm going to lose against both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought, man, maybe I'd have a chance with the dog man. Cause the Bigfoot's going to be way, way worse. Like the dog man, you're going to get cut up. You're going to get slashed up, and it's not afraid to fight a Bigfoot. Which means it's crazy as hell, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's out of its mind. Whereas Bigfoot's just going to tear you limb from limb, like the 100 man versus the gorilla thing going on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Like, if a gorilla can just pull men's arms off, a 600-pound gorilla, a 1,200-pound Bigfoot, you're just going to be a red mist.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping with, that Bigfoot would just punch me in the head and it would just be over.
Yeah, just go through you.
Yeah, it's just done.
Yeah.
There's no
just
nothing.
Just palm it and just...
Yep, done. Instant, yeah. Game over.
Solid choice.
Yeah, thanks. So this next story takes place in Marion County in 1996. The main character here is James Wheeler, a professional driver for Midwest Continental Transport. Old James here had been driving trucks since 1974. He started doing it right after he got out of the Army. James had over 2 million miles under his belt.
Damn.
Never one accident, never a failed drug test, never even had a speeding ticket while driving the rig. This account happened on September 23rd, 1996. He was making a run from Burlington down through Hannibal, which Hannibal is close.
Yeah, I go to Hannibal every year.
Yep. James had a full trailer of auto parts. The weather was clear. Moon was almost full. So the driving conditions were, for James, they were pretty much perfect. James had stopped in a Wayland truck stop around 1 a.m. for a little coffee and to check his logs. James checked his watch and it read 2:17 a.m. He was 3 miles south of Palmyra. Right here, it runs past the Marion City Lake. Speed limit was 55 back then, which I've been working around Palmyra here lately. So that's super, that just tells you how close it is. James had his CB on and listened to other drivers chatter, which, to be honest with you, is probably a lot of fun being a trucker, hearing everybody's chatter. The first thing James notices, though, was this horrid smell coming through his vents. He said it smelled like rancid meat and wet fur. James just figured that somebody basically hit a skunk and it'll pass. Yeah, it's whatever, you know. But he's like, the smell was a little off, though. It was different. It wasn't quite that of a skunk. It was even more, it was even stronger, but it had like this, the way he described it, he's like, it smelled more wild, if that makes sense.
Like musky.
Probably. Then his headlights catch a glimpse of something moving in the field to his right. At first, he figures it's just a deer, which I assume most people would probably figure. However, this was way fucking bigger than a deer. He said this thing burst out of the trees doing like 40 miles an hour. Easy. It crossed both lanes right in front of him, which prompted James to smash on the brakes, and he almost jackknifes his truck and trailer. He's like, this thing was massive. 7 or 8 feet tall, easy, built like a wolf, except it was running on two legs. Its back legs looked extremely powerful. It had long arms, hands that looked like claws. The head was wolf-like, but it was a lot bigger than a wolf's head. Its teeth showed even with its mouth closed. The fur was black as coal, but it had a silver sheen to it. That's when the weird lights hit it. So there's a twofer right there. Story doesn't end here, though. The wolf-like creature wasn't alone. It was being chased by something even bigger. At first glance, James thought it was a damn bear. However, bears don't run on two legs at 40 miles an hour. This other creature had to be at least 9 feet tall. Massive chest and arms that were like tree trunks, brown fur, and described, which is great, a gorilla on steroids. Its face was flat with a heavy brow, almost human-like. The two creatures then disappear into the woods east of the highway towards Salt River. The sounds that James heard were like a wolf's howl and a lion's roar. Said he could hear trees crashing around. James then pulls over at the next stop to take a moment, kind of collect his thoughts, calm his nerves because he's shaking so bad he couldn't even hold his coffee at this point. He calls in a dispatch, tells her what happened, and she just starts laughing at him, asking if he'd been drinking. And this, in my opinion, this is kind of where I can tell James is a no-nonsense type of guy, because all he says back to that is, I ain't touched a drop since 82. And I just get that visual of like the old hard hat, the old hard ass type of dude.
I ain't touched a drop since 82.
Yeah. James ends up finding out he wasn't the only person who saw something that night. Farmer out near Philadelphia lost 3 sheep that very same night, which, believe it or not, is not only a small town in Illinois, but I have actually trimmed that town out during my tree trimming rain. So that's another one that I've... encountered through this series that I've actually trimmed.
I'm beginning to think that Kyle might actually be the dog man.
I do have the silver sheen.
You are a silver fox. He's the silver fox man.
You might be onto something here.
See? It's science.
You might be onto something.
You do your research, you put your theory out, you solve the problem.
It's true. It's fucking true.
It's easy.
It is true. All right, but they found the sheep tore apart like something had been fighting over them. A guy at the Marion County Sheriff's Office told him they had calls about strange noises and property damage, but officially they blamed it on vandals. A month later, James was at a truck stop in Bowling Green talking with a few other drivers, some old-timer named Earl, who's probably a hard ass, told James about how he's seen something similar up near Kirksville in 85. Same description, wolf thing and a big and hairy creature fighting. Over the years, James hears more and more stories. It seems like these things have been spotted all over northeast Missouri. Always the same pattern, territorial disputes. Seems they are fighting over hunting grounds. Some of the old timers say they've been here longer than the roads. James even ended up with another less dramatic encounter in 2002. He was parked at a rest stop near or north of Hannibal, which, as we went over, Steve knows relatively well.
Dude, I'm going to have to start going looking for Squatch in Hannibal.
Bro, that's crazy, right?
I go on the ghost tours, but I never seen a Squatch or a dog man.
It's fucking crazy.
Or a fucking ghost.
I couldn't believe how close these stories are.
I can't believe how recent they are. Yeah. 2002, that's 20 years, 20 plus years ago, but that's still 2000s. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's not that, like, Limp Bizkit Nookie was already out then.
Hell yeah, that's fucking great song.
Which he was probably listening to when he saw the dog man.
I guarantee it.
The dog man was probably listening to it.
Guarantee it, because James was trying to take a nap, but he's woke up with the truck rocking. Like something big had bumped into it. So he's probably listening to Break Stuff. Or Nookie. Nookie would get him going too. He looks out his window and spots one of the wolf things sniffing around his trailer, which would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I'd go right back to sleep. I would pull a Kyle on that, blankets over the head, yeah. Back to sleep.
Yeah. He said this thing must have caught his scent because it looked dead at him. He said its eyes were burning like amber. It let out a growl that he describes made his entire truck shake and vanishes into the darkness. He retired from driving in 2018, but still thinks about what he saw. James keeps reading local papers and following stories about livestock killings and strange sightings. James says, which is such an awesome quote, "They're still out there, fighting their secret war in our forests and fields. Most folks don't want to believe it, and maybe that's for the best. But I know what I saw, and I thank God every day that I was in my truck and not broken down on the side of the road that night."
That's awesome.
It's fucking gangster, dude.
I wonder, like, is this just a Midwest thing?
The encounters that I'm covering right now, yes.
I wonder if there's more to it. Like,
I think it makes sense, territorial disputes.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with, like, in the first one, how dude's daughter was telling him that these apex predators need massive areas to survive.
Which makes sense.
And you're going to hear something with probably this next story that links the first two together.
Interesting.
And it's fucking bizarre considering we've had submissions with weird stuff. Not that they're entirely connected, but it's fucking weird.
Because I feel like they're not battling over food, because obviously there's going to be tons of food around, especially if they're taking livestock.
Right.
Because the deer population's massive.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff to go around here in this part of the Midwest. So I'm assuming that it's not a food dispute. It's got to be territory. Something different. Yeah. Maybe they just hate each other.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes the most sense to me right now.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Yeah, it's a top predator battle. Which is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. The next story takes place in Lewis County in 2005. Lewis County butts right up to Illinois around Adams County. Mike Tanner was a ranger at Deer Ridge Conservation Area for over 12 years. Mike is also a former Marine who did two tours in Desert Storm. He'd thought he'd seen everything the woods had to offer, from poachers to drug operations, the occasional lost hiker. Once again, though, in the fall, so there's another similarity, in the fall, his patrol changed all of that. It was a Thursday night in September. Mike was doing his final patrol before closing the north gates. Reports had come in of spotlights in the area, so he's out on high alert looking for poachers. The moon was nearly full. Sky was clear. And so clear that the sky was so clear, the moon was so full that he could essentially do his patrol with no flashlight. It was that bright out.
Which is weird that people had spotlights.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Around 9:30 p.m., he was checking the back service road that runs along the LaGrange Ridge. This is fucking strange. I tried looking this up. I couldn't find anything initially. So if anybody's heard shit like this before, get at me because I'm curious. He's back on the service road that runs along the LaGrange Ridge when his radio starts acting weird. Static and some type of weird interference begin. At first, he thinks it's just a normal dead zone, but then his truck's electrical system starts going crazy. Dash lights flickering, headlights dimming, and then a smell that catches his attention.
It's the Bigfoot alien agenda. 100%.
Very well could be.
I was thinking that when they saw what they thought were spotlights, definitely UFO lights.
It 100% could be.
They're sending the Bigfoots down to fight the Dogmen.
Yeah, it's like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, it's 100% what it is.
That's awesome.
The Dogmen are getting out of control. They're starting to kill humans. You know, you got the Land Between the Lakes issue. They don't want it to be the
Bigfoot's the equalizer.
Yeah. Hey, Hollow Cult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, Hollow Cult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I got a lot more respect for Bigfoot now.
They're sending it down. It's like,
I got some respect.
Come on with it, dog man. You can shred up the
fucking
humans.
Sending Brock Lesnar down.
Yeah. Time to the Brock Ness monsters, whatever he used to call it.
<It's> not wrong.
Send it down. I hope that's the case. That's Bigfoot alien tie-in.
It is kind of, yeah. But it's weird. I've never heard in conjunction with Bigfoot, outside of you bringing UFOs into the picture, with all the electronics going fucking nuts. But
I don't know if I have or not.
I don't think I have.
I don't know.
But in regards to the smell, Mike knows most of the outdoor smells fairly well from all of his years of being out in the wilderness. Wet leaves, deer musk, skunks.
Constantly sniffing.
Yeah, but this was a different smell from all of it. It was like a wet dog mixed with rotting meat and something else. Something that made the back of his, or the neck, or the hair, God, the hair on the back of his neck stand up. At first, Mike thinks it's a dead deer. However, he's like, the smell was just stronger than that. Like, it doesn't make sense. So Mike kills his truck engine, grabs his rifle, which is a standard issue Remington 700, and a heavy-duty flashlight. At this point, the woods have gone completely silent, which, as me and Steve have covered, that's always a pretty shitty sign when everything goes dead silence.
Yeah. Everything's trying to avoid being noticed.
Yeah.
By something.
So there's either alpha predators or dimensional shifts or whatever the fuck's going on in the woods.
Or battles of interdimensional beings. Yes. And alien beings.
Oh, I hope that's when Power Man 5000 comes on.
Yeah, obviously.
This is what it's like when worlds collide.
That's what's playing within every one of these battles.
Yes.
Every single battle is this.
That's why Power Man 5000 wrote that song.
Yeah.
They knew it was happening.
Obviously.
I agree. We
Rob
saw
Zombie's little brother was the one that watched the battle.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
It's simple science.
It is simple science. It is. I'm glad you're here as our Scientologist.
Yeah. I study these things. I study nu metal and I study cryptids. So.
I love that you study nu metal.
I'm still new to this day.
The best. So, like I said, the woods are quiet. There's nothing making a noise. And all of a sudden, he hears the first crash. He's like, it sounded like a fucking tree coming down. Maybe about a quarter mile to my east. Then another one closer. Then something was moving through the forest, and it was big enough to be knocking trees over. Mike tries to radio into dispatch, but gets nothing but static. He moves to the edge of the service road using an old oak tree as cover. The crashes keep getting closer and closer. And then another noise starts to creep in. It was fighting. And not like when a deer or two are going at it. This was accompanied by roars and growls that didn't sound like any animal he'd ever heard in those woods. Then they come in, these creatures come into the clearing about 50 yards ahead. Two massive creatures locked in combat. The first one looked like a wolf, but it was all wrong. It was standing on two legs, easily 7 to 8 feet tall, arms that ended in hands with massive claws. The fur was dark, almost black, and its eyes, they glowed like hot coals in his flashlight. The other creature, which was even bigger, at least 9 feet tall, covered in brown fur and built like a linebacker, looked almost like a giant ape, but different from any of the pictures that he's seen. It was built, he's like, this thing was built for fighting. It had massive shoulders and arms that looked like they could snap trees, just snap them in half. These two were going at it like nothing he's ever seen. The wolf was much faster, using its claws as much as possible. The big one was trying to grab it and smash it. They'd slam into trees and shake the ground, and Mike just stands there frozen, his rifle trained on him. However, he's like, you know what? I've got no fucking business getting involved in this mix-up. The fight keeps moving through the clearing and getting deeper and deeper into the woods, heading toward the river. He's like, I could hear them fighting for at least the next 15 minutes. When it gets quiet, Mike waited for another 30 minutes or so before investigating the clearing. And apparently this all gets documented in an official report. Trees up to 14 inches thick, snapped like twigs, blood on the ground, some red, some dark and odd looking. So there's a tie into the first one with the weird blood. The tracks made no sense. One was a massive wolf, but with a different shape. The others were like giant human feet. Mike collected the evidence, took photos, measurements, even some hair samples. Makes his report to the department, even included the GPS coordinates. 2 days later, he gets a call from the regional office, and they tell him to rewrite his report and leave out anything unusual, saying it must have been a couple black bears fighting, even though he hadn't seen a black bear confirmation in decades. Mike started doing some digging around and finds similar reports from other conservation areas. Learning that in Adair County back in 85 and the truck driver near Palmyra in 96. So the first two stories are directly linked to Mike. Mike, you know, does his homework and finds these two stories. Now, Mike doesn't go out anymore without his rifle, and he's got a backup sidearm. He started carrying a better camera too. Even though he hasn't seen anything again, he does on the occasion hear them and finds tracks still, always in a pair like they're following each other. The old timers in the area who've worked the woods for decades say there's been a war going on in the forest since before settlers arrived. Two different creatures fighting over territory. And this is strange. Mike found some strange markings carved into trees near the river. Deep grooves that looked deliberate, like some kind of territorial marking. A week later, he finds these same marks on trees. Or no. So he finds these strange markings. A week later, he comes back. Those trees that had the markings were now torn down with different marks on surrounding trees.
Weird.
Like they're fighting over borderlines.
I wonder if they're like... Dude, I wonder if it's like some sort of magic protection, like sigils on those trees.
I don't know, but remember we've had people send us pictures of markings on trees.
Yeah, we had a listener experience talking about sigils on... Right, wasn't it a listener experience we were talking about?
I think
so. Or maybe something on Reddit where they were out hunting and they found the weird sigils on the trees and we didn't... Did we equate it with cryptids then?
I thought we equated it with some type of like barrier protection or something. I don't know.
Dude, it almost makes me wonder if there is some sort of magic barrier to keep these things.
I don't know, dude.
It's not working if they're getting smashed, but yeah, that's wild.
It's crazy. Mike said he's about to retire and move down to the Ozarks with his daughter. He's glad that he'll be leaving these encounters and woods behind him. However, he says that there is a part of him that wants to know more about exactly what's going on because these creatures are more intelligent and more organized than we think. They're fighting over something bigger than we understand, which is terrifying.
Yeah, it also could lead credence to the magic sigils being a barrier for one of them.
Could be.
Can you imagine if Bigfoot was using magic to keep the dog man
fucking awesome
in like a space?
Gosh. That means he's probably directly related to Harry Potter.
Fucking wizard foot.
I was thinking, like, yeah, man, he's like the literal Harry Potter.
Yeah. Furry Potter.
Yeah, he's hairy as fuck.
Wizard foot.
Yeah. And he does like sticks, dude.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I'm with you.
Nobody ever thought Bigfoot was a wizard. They're going to now.
I love it. So
we're exploring ideas that everybody else in the paranormal community are too afraid to touch.
That's also true.
Bastard sons of the paranormal out here.
Doing our own thing.
You want to talk about metaphysical Bigfoot? That's cool. Whoa, you're so out of the box. What about wizard foot?
Wizard foot, dog.
Prove me wrong.
You can't.
Can't. Science.
Can't do it.
Simple science.
I love that's going to be the new thing. Simple science, baby.
It's easy as that.
Just simple fucking science.
It's easy as that. You got sigils. You got Bigfoots.
Sticks.
Wizard foot.
Yeah. It's all there.
I don't know what else to tell you, honestly.
It's all there. Well, you don't need any more proof. It's there.
Proof's in the sigils.
It's true.
Solved it.
You did.
Epic solve.
You did. All right. So the last story takes place in Shelby County, which is in northeast Missouri. This happens in 2013.
Which is pretty recent.
It is. A man named Jeff Miller runs a small hunting supply store in Shelbina.
Oh, sounds good to me.
I'm going to say, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, he's been a bow hunter all of his life and has some high-end trail cameras set up over 180 acres of hunting land, which is located just north of Black Creek. In October of 2013, which is the fall, he was checking his cameras and everything was normal until he gets to camera 14. It sits near an old salt lick, roughly a quarter mile from the creek. The battery was dead, which is strange because he had just charged it. Also, the SD card was nearly full, which is also weird because once triggered, these cameras only take roughly about 3 pictures. So he goes home and puts the card into the computer and starts to scroll through the pictures. First few days are normal. Deer, turkeys, coyotes. However, on October 3rd, around 2 a.m., things are a little bit stranger. The photos show the pictures were taken seconds apart. So at 2:13, 45 seconds a.m., the first photo shows what looks like a massive dark figure moving through the frame. It's a blur, which suggests that it's moving quickly. It also has a silvery sheen to it. 2:13:48 a.m. Second photo is a bit clearer. It's a bipedal creature, roughly 7 feet tall, wolf-like head, arms too long, ended in what looked like hands with claws on them. Eyes reflect the infrared flash like fire. 2:13:48. Third photo shows second creature entering frame from left. Huge, covered in brown fur, built like a gorilla but bigger, roughly 9 feet tall. 2:13:50, both creatures fighting, blurry images, but you can see trees bending from impact. Then nothing because camera dies. However, he starts checking other cameras in the area. Camera 12, 300 yards west. 2:14:23, both creatures running through frame, clear shot of wolf thing's face. Muzzle is longer than a normal wolf. Camera 16, a quarter mile north. 2:15:45, brown creature throwing what looks like a small tree at wolf thing. 2:15:47, wolf thing dodging, showing incredible speed. 2:15:48, both creatures grappling, brown one has wolf thing in headlock. Camera 19, which is near the creek. 2:17:12 a.m., wolf thing slashing at brown creature. 2:17:14. Brown creature bleeding but still fighting. Blood almost looks black in IR light. 2:17:16. Both creatures crashing into creek. Oddly enough, which doesn't make sense, currently, all other cameras were either destroyed or had their batteries drained. They were later found scattered throughout the woods, some torn right off the trees.
Hmm.
Next morning, Jeff goes out to check on the damage. He finds tracks. And as we've discussed earlier, damage and blood types are the same. Some blood is red and some strange dark stuff that seemed to steam in the morning air. Jeff calls his buddy Steve, who works for the conservation department. Steve comes out and takes some pictures, collects samples. Two days later, Steve calls and tells Jeff, "Hey, man, I'm going to need you to go ahead and forget what you saw." The official report will list all of this as storm damage and normal wildlife activity. Jeff said that this series of events kept happening every few months. Cameras destroyed, two sets of tracks, trees damaged, strange noises, livestock missing. So Jeff starts talking with other hunters in the area, comparing notes, essentially. Similar things were happening all over northeast Missouri. Same two creatures, same fighting. Jeff then invests in military-grade cameras with longer battery life, start using GPS to track destruction patterns, mapped all known sightings in the area. So this dude's just going full on.
Oh, yeah.
Into this. He even goes and starts collecting local legends and stories. Jeff says that the pattern alone suggests that these creatures are highly territorial, ranges covering multiple counties. The fighting oddly seems to peak during full moon hours and in early fall. These creatures are smart. Most of his new cameras were destroyed before catching anything good, almost like they know they're being watched. Which for me makes me wonder if they can see the IR light on the cameras or if they can smell the scent that we leave behind.
Could be.
Jeff found really strange marks carved into trees, like they are marking their territory. Deliberate patterns found similar marks 20 miles away near Moreau County line. Jeff says he still has the original photos and that they're stored on multiple hard drives, which suggests to me that he knows
something
could happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, I could release the photos, but at this point, who would even fucking believe me?
I would.
And maybe it's better that people don't know. I also find it ironic that so many people think this way in regard to this type of shit. Almost like they've been fucking programmed to hold it, or something is influencing them without them even knowing. They're like, I'll get rid of it. I won't post it. And in this account too, changes the dude's behavior. Won't go after dark. Keeps his bow on him and heavy caliber sidearm with him at all times.
It also kind of leads credence to ties into the encounter where the truck started messing up. If all the trail cams were drained of batteries and messed up.
Yep.
Like they are harvesting some sort of energy, which in a lot of Bigfoot encounters you hear of there being weird manifestual energy around, like balls of light, streaks of light, things like that, which makes me wonder if they are a harvester of like energy.
Could be.
Which is weird.
I don't know. It's crazy that a lot of these stories have a lot of similarities to them. Because even in the first one, I think it was in the second story. I think they said something about strange markings on trees.
Yeah, that is weird.
So, it clearly shows, which is crazy because it would also suggest that these things at least have a form of communication with themselves if they're marking things.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you've heard like Bigfoot marking their territories in other ways, like building the tree structures and rock stacks and stuff like that.
But I'm thinking what it is it's Dogman carving shit into trees and Bigfoot is ripping them the fuck out.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
A 14-inch diameter tree is stout.
Yeah, it's way bigger than you think it is.
Yeah, that's a stout. To be snapped in half, that's stout.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if we did get punched by him, it's game over.
It's going to be fine. We'll feel it for like a nanosecond. Mm. Unless they punch you in the leg. That's going to suck.
Oh, that sucks. Your leg just falls off.
Yeah.
Or disintegrates.
Yeah. That's, I wish he would release the trail cam footage.
It'd be awesome. I tried looking him up. I think it was that one. I tried looking one of them up for the official. No, it was the story prior for the official story. But I never could find anything.
The areas they're talking about, like in Northeast Missouri and Northwest Illinois, they're prime squatchy area. You go out around Hannibal, yeah. There's a lot more forest and hills and shit than not.
Isn't it crazy just how close these areas are to us?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of it is right in, like, within an hour and a half of where we are.
Easy. It is wild. But, like, all that area up that way is pretty barren when you think about it. Like, the population up that way is very scattered outside of, like, your main, like, Quincy or Peoria or Springfield. Like, everybody kind of gravitated around the big cities up there.
Yep.
Yep. Which gives prime squatch area.
It's fucking crazy.
I just wish I knew what the beef was.
We might find out one day.
Yeah.
Because you know damn good and well if they're an hour and a half from here, they're around here.
And we, like I said at the beginning of the show, like there are dogman encounters relatively close to here. Which is further, the encounters like around Cahokia is further south than we are. So if like the territories are that big, or even if there are like a breeding population of dogmen, they probably are all the way through the Illinois Mississippi River bottom.
Well, I remember we had somebody like, it wasn't even that far from here that said they had big feet migrating through their property.
Yeah, there's people have posted. Tracks from Pier Marquette.
It's awesome.
Yeah, found in Pier Marquette 2013, I think. I think I have it saved in my phone.
I'm trying to see it. I'm trying to see Bigfoot.
I feel like the Illinois bluffs and the river bottoms is a prime spot.
I feel like good migration pattern. I feel like seeing Bigfoot is far safer than seeing Dogman.
Yeah, I feel like Dogman is going to be your wild card.
Yeah.
And Dogman's fast.
Yeah.
So.
We are fucked on both fronts.
Yeah, at least I feel like Bigfoot's going to be quick.
I think Bigfoot has a little bit more patience for us, though.
Yeah, I do too.
Where he's kind of like,
That's why Bigfoot was sent here, because Dogman would start killing humans.
Yeah, Bigfoot's like, why do I need to fuck him up? That's like you guys stepping on an ant.
Yeah. To be inconsequential.
I got no reason to do that.
That is, I wonder if there's more stories.
I guarantee it.
I want more of the Bigfoot Dogman War.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. Like I was so excited whenever I read that and it said it was from Macomb. I'm like, that is not far at all.
No.
And then you start reading the stories and I was actively looking up the towns and I'm like, holy shit, like this is way close to us. Yeah.
All those places right around Hannibal, like that's what, an hour and a half drive?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's crazy. Probably drove through some of those towns fucking off up there.
Yep. Guarantee it.
That's wild.
But I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Banger of an episode. Banger.
I thought it was sweet.
I want to know what they're fighting about. I want to know who's winning. Like, I need these answers.
Yeah, because I don't think Dogman's a pushover by any
means. No, I feel like it could go either way.
Yeah.
The Dogman's faster, more weaponry.
Yep.
And if it can tuck in, hit, tuck out, tuck in, hit, tuck out, you're like 1,200-pound Bigfoot moving around. That's a lot of energy to be moving around. If he can... Tire him out.
Yep.
Wear him down. 1,200 pounds might be a little big. Let's say 800-pound Bigfoot.
That's still big as fuck.
Yeah. You wear him down, Dogman's going to get in. But it only takes, it's like the telltale old battle. All it takes is for the Bigfoot to get a hold of him and it's
game over.
Dunskies.
I've always liked the fast classes.
Yeah, you always play that.
I always do.
Sneaky.
Yeah, I like that. So my money, I have to go with Dog Man. I know Bigfoot's got the edge in the fight, but
if he can evade and wear down Dog Man, but it only takes one wrong move. Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure on Dog Man.
One wrong move, you get hung up one time.
Thump.
You ain't gonna use them claws if your arms are tore off.
That's exactly it.
And the Bigfoot's gonna use them against you. Your own arms against you. You ever been in a scenario where someone's used your own limbs against you?
No, me either. Not.
I don't want to be, but I feel like that's a thing. So, I feel like it'd go either way. I don't know. I can't with good conscience make a call.
Oh no, I mean I realistically can't either. I like Dog Man because he's fast. It. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I bet there's big feats down there by your pa's house.
Oh yeah, that everybody talks about it.
I guarantee there is.
The old boy lived up in the bluffs. Ask if anybody's seen the hairy man that runs around.
Yeah, we need to just get like one of them big mowers and mow a big place out there where we ain't got to be in the weeds and
just camp out.
Yeah, go check out a Bigfoot or three. Maybe we'll get front row seats to Bigfoot Dog Man.
Oh shit.
That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be awesome. Have our GoPro set up and there's a Dog Man stalking us. And then we think we are fucked. And then out of nowhere, you just hear that big sumbitch come crashing through the forest. He throws like a 28-foot log and it hits the Dog Man right out in front of us.
God, and right before that, I feel like you hear John Cena's intro.
The glass break from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Or that.
That tree just like we're face to face with the Dog Man. He's looking at us and we're like, this is it, Kyle.
Yeah.
We're going to get eaten.
Yeah.
And that tree just goes, doosh. We're like, oh
shit.
Oh shit.
See, if I heard the glass shatter Stone Cold intro, I'm excited. If I hear John Cena, I'm going to be more on the lines like, what the fuck?
We ain't going to be able to see him.
I know. That's why I just picture Bigfoot running through going like this.
I picture Bigfoot bald, chugging beer with a leather vest on.
That'd be awesome.
Bald foot. Bald wizard foot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stone cold wizard foot.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah. Simple science.
It is simple science.
So weigh in, Hollow Cult. We're curious. Who do you have in this epic, no holds barred cage match?
Yeah.
Sasquatch, Dogman.
I think old Biggiefoot's got the edge, but I still like Dogman.
Yeah, if Dogman can move, he's gonna get his shots in.
Yeah.
Each shot that connects is gonna take Bigfoot down a little bit.
Yep.
The Squatch's gotta get him within the first two rounds. Gotta get a hold of him. If the Dog Man's moving, slicing, wearing down, he's gonna chop the giant down.
I like it.
So weigh in, Hollow Cult. Let us know. Hit us up on the socials. Tell us what you think. Again, share the show. If you want a different experience, hop on over to YouTube and you can see our beautiful faces talk about this in real time. Make sure you like and subscribe. Turn on your notification bell. We're trying to grow our YouTube channel a little bit here and there. Doing pretty decent. We're back to working on it, back to focusing, getting things in line, settling the life stuff down. Gonna refocus and revamp. Thanks for hanging out with us on this wonderful Monday. And check us out all our socials. Until we meet again, stay weird, stay safe, and I hope each and every one of you get to be a witness of a Bigfoot Dogman battle.